Hello, friends. Welcome once again to the Perfect Bound Podcast. This is a podcast all about anything and everything comic books and comics related, brought to you by the Panel and Jumper and Comics Dungeon. My name is Ben. With me, as always, is Cole Hornaday.
Hey there.
Nicole Lamb.
Hello.
Chris Casso. This is episode 110 for March 20th, 2017. This year is just flying by, but fortunately up here in Seattle, the days are getting longer, which is nice. It's nice not waking up in the dark to go to work and then getting home in the dark, which is something
that
happens here.
What are you grumbling about? You work from home.
I do not work from home.
You work from the annex office, which is practically home.
Don't tell people that I sometimes sleep there. Okay, let's...
I take naps in my chair.
Well, wash your socks sometimes.
I was awake.
No, I don't sleep there. I used to crash there all the time when I lived in Wallingford, but now that I live within walking distance, so...
It's kind of hard to justify. Yeah, I could just walk home
in 15 minutes. All right. Anyway, enough about me. Let's talk about me. It's a new segment called Sell Me. And the reason
for
we're talking.
How much?
Well done.
The reason.
First bidder.
The reason we're talking about.
2 bits. I'll give you 2 bits for him.
Part of me is for sale. My time. Part. The time I want to spend
4 bits.
Reading.
I'll give you 4 bits for this time.
The time I want to spend reading and watching things. Now, of course, like Star Wars. I would not say I'm like the biggest fan. I haven't read any of the novelizations.
But your heart is open.
My heart's open to it. You know, the prequels were disappointing.
Of course.
I was super pumped about Rogue One and about Force Awakens. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm all about the Star Wars universe, even though I maybe am not as versed in it as I should be. Now, a couple of months ago, Cole Hornaday here thrust a couple of DVDs into my paws. The Clone Wars. And he's like, you need to watch
these. There's no thrusting going on here. I'm the only person you know that has all this in their possession. So, you know.
So, the Clone Wars. Let's talk about the Clone Wars.
There was no thrusting.
First, let's talk about... Keep that out of this. Well, first, we'll talk about what the Clone Wars you lent me were.
What I loaned you was the 2005 interstitial cartoon that was the microseries produced by Jendi Tartanovsky, and he's famous for Samurai Jack and Powerpuff Girls and Dexter's Laboratory. These were these 8 to 10 minute short episodes that were like ran before the primetime series, and they packaged and it was supposed to be your filler between Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith. As a matter of fact, it led right up to the first beat of Revenge of the Sith.
Right.
Though it's that very, I think Tartanovsky's style is really unique and actually quite fun, and I really enjoyed this series. A, because there was lots of action. B, it just seemed to have that quality of fun with an absence of idiocy that the prequels had. And also there was like, but what helped was there was like no dialogue. No.
Really quick.
Yeah. No dialogue.
So I gave it a shot.
Yes.
I put in the first DVD out of the two and I watched probably 30 minutes, and I got bored.
Wow.
And I turned it off.
That's just really surprising
and
because
I stopped watching it.
Because it's all action. Were you...
But that's why I got bored. I guess I was not in the headspace to watch 2 hours of just
coming
animated
off the prequels and you wanted character development?
Now, the 12-year-old in me... The 12-year-old in me is disappointed that I didn't want to watch 2 hours of animated space battles.
I understand.
But Ben,
okay.
They keep fighting.
Right. I know.
But it's fun.
Cool. Look,
but,
it's awesome.
But see, I was concerned that you would confuse this with what came later, was the Cartoon Network TV series that was called The Clone Wars that ran from 2008 to 2013.
That's confusing.
Yeah.
You can find those on Amazon or on Netflix.
Right.
Because I didn't watch
Netflix.
The first episode.
Yeah.
And that series, I watched that from beginning to end. And as a matter of fact, that series started with the premiere was actually a cinematic release film that did not bode well. It was just called The Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. That's where you meet Ahsoka Tano. And it's a story about her rescuing Jabba the Hutt's son from their evil nephew, Zero. Zero, probably one of the most offensive cartoon characters I've ever seen. So he's a Hutt, but he talks like Truman Capote. So he's like an evil Hutt Truman Capote.
Okay.
Very fey and just kind of yucky, very yucky. I never, there were things about the Clone Wars. Or,
Ben's
the Clone,
making a face.
Yeah, the
Lots
Clone
of
Wars
faces.
Animated series that I enjoyed, but it was 5 years of slogging through a lot of stuff to get to the good bits. And I just never got past the fact that I always thought all these characters looked like they were carved from chalk. You know, that was the design conceit. They looked like the Tartakovsky illustrations, but they were animated, you know. But to me, they still had this geometric feel. And especially Obi-Wan Kenobi just looked like he was made out of brown and white chalk pieces that were finely carved.
Anyway. Oh, I see what you mean. The blocky design.
So it had the Tartakovsky base design, but it was done as animated.
Yeah, as CGI.
So they kind of got thrown over a barrel when Disney bought Lucasfilm, because they were in the middle of producing their sixth season when that happened. So they actually produced the episodes, but they didn't run them on Cartoon Network. They ran them on Netflix, and those are called the Lost Missions, which I think are the best because they got, I don't know if they got some forewarning that they were going to get canceled so they could play a little bit more fast and loose with the stories. But I think there were some of the better stories in that last season, the Lost Missions. I recommend those, but there's some equity you may need to earn from watching the previous season.
So the stuff that he started with,
yes.
You love that stuff. The
I
in between,
did.
You're kind of hit or miss, and then the end
right,
Lost, you're
right.
Like... Spot
yeah,
on.
But
okay.
Now the show that I cannot recommend enough is Star Wars Rebels.
Which
I just think is, I loaned Ben the first two seasons.
He thrust the DVDs into my grubby little paws.
I tried
paws.
To get him to thrust them into my grubby little paws.
I will own that I thrust those upon thee. Because
there's
those
a
are
no
just
thrust zone inside of the table.
Because those, I really hope you enjoy those because they actually excite me. They get Star Wars in this. There's a new quality of Star Wars. It has the quality of Force Awakens that excites me. It's like this is a new world, new characters, but this feel that we missed from the original the second trilogy, the original Lucas films.
I'm assuming all of these cartoons have are in what Disney considers the Star Wars canon.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, they are.
And they're being a little bit now they're being a little bit fast and loose and recanting on their canon. So like they originally said the Timothy Zahn story is non-canon, but now Grand Admiral Thrawn has been incorporated into the Rebels stories.
They're just kind of picking and choosing.
They are picking and choosing.
What do they refer to the last stuff as? Legends or something?
Legacy?
There's some sort of like term for it that we had to, like William and I had to look up, my husband, because we were like, what are they referring to? But there's like canon versus non-canon.
And Legacy's kind of
and I think Legacy is like,
almost.
Well, Legacy I thought was all the Dark Horse stuff, all the stuff that like
most
Disney's picking and choosing from.
Yeah,
most of the novels.
The novelization. Like all that just wealth of mythology.
Got it.
That's the funny thing with the comics too. When they bought out everything and all the initial reports were like all the Dark Horse stuff is gonna be going out of print and everything is gonna be sealed in a vault. So you better get these trades now because you'll never see it again. And we're not gonna sell it to Marvel Disney. And then like. I'm looking down at my shelf now, and they're now in these
Star
things
Wars.
Called the Epic Collection.
Epic Collection.
What do you know?
It's just like, you don't throw money away because there's like so much of that Vader material.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
Just like, it doesn't matter what continuity. It's a Vader story.
There are things happening in the Rebels animated series that actually, I love to use the term reinform, or reinforming how you read things, because at the end of the second season, I haven't seen very little of the third season, because I don't have Disney, but the Darth Maul returns, and he's this tragic, broken down former Sith apprentice. I think he even says he's not a Sith Lord anymore, but he's after his own apprentice. He meets up with our protagonist in the Jedi Temple and gets his hooks into Ezra, our protagonist, the young Jedi apprentice. And all of a sudden, Maul is a really cool character. He's very threatening, but he also has layers, and I'm like, this is the best. This is what I want.
So he should have given you Rebels. This is really what the sell me section is on, and not so much on the Clone Wars.
Well,
Lost
I have
missions, and then you're done.
I have Rebels sitting on top of my DVD player, and
I hope you enjoy them. I hope you get as excited about them as I do. It's okay if you don't. I mean, I'll just take back all the thrusting.
I have to say that on the TV show Clone Wars stuff that they did, I had trouble. I totally lost momentum on those, and I was like. like so jazzed after Force Awakens that I was like, I want to absorb all of the mythology as fast as possible. So we started watching that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I can't handle what's her name. And like, I just had trouble getting into it. So, and I was also confused as to where to start because it'd been so long since all that stuff came out. I was mm-hmm. like, how am I supposed to watch this? Because it seems like it's right in the middle of everything. Mm-hmm. I started watching little snippets, and I was like, there's lots of action, but what are we doing?
Right.
And then, yeah. So it's just kind of tricky.
It did not improve on the prequels. It didn't, to my mind, it really didn't help things. I was hoping it was going to help me. You know, well, it was going to make the prequels better for me. But what I'm saying is that Rebels has, and mm-hmm. well, Force Awakens has, obviously. Mm-hmm. I don't bring up Rogue One because Rogue One is really kind of out of, it's part of the scope, but it's not really part of these stories that we're talking about.
Yeah. So.
Right. The run, this, you should have obviously, the Samurai Jack guy.
Mm-hmm. Jendi Tartanovsky?
That guy. His run, I did really like those when I watched them.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to say, if there's only one negative thing I could have, and the thing is, I don't even think it's negative about that. It's that it makes me hate the prequels more in that there's a really weird power discrepancy. All the Jedis are like gods.
Mm-hmm.
There's like the one scene where like Yoda like crushes a bajillion giant ships
right.
with the sheer force of will.
Right.
And then he just kind of like looks at General Grievous and crushes his rib cage. And you're like, why didn't y'all bring that up during the big parts of the war?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is really weird. You guys only had like one shot to do something and you wasted it during like these little...
Really good point.
There's one where Mace... their health meter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's one where Mace Windu like just like obliterated an entire planet's worth of droids. Mm-hmm. To my memory.
With the sweep
just,
of his arm.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just like, I remember that.
Well, that was easy.
Mm-hmm.
Then you watch the last movie and you're just like, why are you all even doing anything over here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
So I don't know if we really sold you on anything.
Yeah.
Well, but... I'm not going to reborrow those, the Clone, Tartanovsky, Clone War DVDs,
mm-hmm.
but, but I will go into watching Rebels with, I guess, more enthusiasm.
Okay, hope so.
And not as much cynicism and dread. Okay.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Speaking of cynicism
and dread.
All right, Cole, you brought this up on Facebook a couple weeks ago. We were talking about an industry disconnect. Comic book movies are a big billion-dollar industry these days. The Emerald City Comic Con, which closed a couple weeks ago, was the largest ever. You see everybody and their mother dressing up as Harley Quinn and Stormtroopers and Chewbaccas.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the meantime, nobody's buying comic books.
Right.
What's going on?
I went on a crabby rant on the 3rd, and a lot of what I said was rhetorical. What I really wanted to say was, go buy your comic books, because I just had this conversation with Chris, and I was concerned about he and Nicole's well-being, and I also saw...
We're okay, just for the record.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And I also had just seen Gail Simone's tweet about... Go buy your comics. Mm-hmm. If you've got subscriptions, don't let them sit there. You want your stores to stay open, go buy your comic books. And then I made the mistake of sort of, linking that frustration, that by proxy frustration, to where I see the culture going. And what I did not realize is that I just went off the same way my character did in Puny Humans.
So meta.
Terribly meta. And what I got were some interesting responses, but I also realized we were just tapping an old conversation. You know, this is the risky place of the brick-and-mortar stores. One, and people gave me a lot of their insights. They're like, well, I don't buy comics anymore because blah, because of the fatigue of crossovers, because of the cover costs. And it's like, okay, we've talked about that all the time.
Yeah.
But there was one, my friend Patrick Moore brought up the parallel with vinyl records and how that made a return. And he was talking about the vinyl renaissance. And I was like, well, is there a similarity there between print and vinyl? Because, vinyl was dead ski, it was like not coming out of the attic and we were throwing it all away. And then there was this, and then, hip hop artists, indie artists and the whatnot.
Yeah. But there's a parallel there, but there's almost also not because when vinyl went away, stores still had tapes to sell. They still had CDs to sell.
Uh-huh.
and then vinyl came back. And I mean, eventually you got the tapes and the CDs went away as well. Mm-hmm. But there's no analog to a comic book tape or CD.
No, because it's like, I don't want to go back to the print processes of the golden age of comics, you know. I don't know what that exactly means, you know.
Well, one of the people on your thread had made a point that, and this might be specifically to Seattle or maybe to places that don't have a lot of comic book stores or don't have good comic book stores, mm-hmm. where you got to have something else. Like, the comics aren't going to bring the people out because a lot of people are busy. There's like tons of other things, or they don't want to leave their house, or they can just buy something on Amazon, or mm-hmm. they can buy it digitally, or they mm-hmm. can. There's so many different options because we're in such a mass media movement at the moment, and a lot of people are shut in the Pacific Northwest. So I feel, right. I mean, I don't want to leave my house if I don't have to either, you know, unless there's pizza, and then I will. so I understand that. We've seen that where it's like, well, you need to have like a hangout spot, or you need to like incorporate Magic the Gathering and have mm-hmm. gaming nights mm-hmm. And it seems like yes. that's what a lot of stores are modeling itself after. And that's what she was saying is like, you exactly. have to have something mm-hmm. else.
You've got, well,
comics
you've
are not enough.
Something,
you know, mm-hmm.
a destination.
You have to
but
be
also,
a destination spot.
But I also believe that there's a value to the type of community building that you've been doing.
Completely.
You know, because that is building new audiences. It's reaching different people because, you know, the model of I represent an old and deteriorating purchasing model. I'm the old white guy buying comic books. It's always excited me to see how the purchasing model is the wrong thing. The buyer model, mm-hmm. You know, this how that's represented, what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And I was lying awake a couple of nights ago thinking, okay, if we can just hold on till the market shifts.
Because it seems sort of transitionary,
exactly,
right? Because,
exactly.
like, the old guys are filling up their collections,
yeah.
you know? There's not necessarily, like, more and more people that we know have been filling up their collections, and they're not necessarily looking for as much back matter, and maybe
right.
they're not reading as much modern material, so they're kind of on the outs. And then some of the new people might be like, well, I can buy cheaper on Amazon, or I can mm-hmm. buy it digitally, or, you know, I can't afford to spend all this money, or I don't have the space, or whatever it is. So there's lots of fluctuations with different people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I was blowing a lot of hot air because I was seeing, especially during Emerald City, I see a lot of people celebrating the culture but not supporting it. And my fall down there is that they are not supporting it in the way I think they should be supporting it. And I need to let that go. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, it's, but at the same time, it's like, the spikes must flow. The spikes must flow. Anyway, Chris, you were going to say something?
Oh, no, I didn't have anything particular to add to into that. Yeah, that part is the most worrisome part of, like, it's trying to identify, are they not supporting in the way that we want them to support because they don't know how to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Or if they are not being made aware that it needs the support?
Yeah.
Like, next is finding out where that disconnect truly is.
All right.
And hopefully that's where, you know, we're aiming towards community model. That's us being uh-huh. nonprofit now.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that's a way to kind of broadcast it a little bit better. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So yeah. We'll see. You know.
Okay.
I think one of the big things that is a factor is making sure that people know that this is a viable medium for educational purposes and just for literacy purposes, and that's again our goal as a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you kind of make it a little bit more acknowledged or commonplace, then everything else might flow better. We're going to have a future episode talking about like the split between Sunday funnies, like newspaper comics and comic books. And one of the things is just that I don't know how much we can talk about the cultural differences, but there's just the fact of just like everybody knows who Garfield is. You know,
yep.
Nobody knows who Martian Manhunter is. So it's one of those things of just like, how do you get exposure going?
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of those other problems start getting solved via that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it was getting people into the door. I remember talking to my stepfather a long time ago and just being like trying to get the people who aren't comic book readers to see comic books for mm-hmm. themselves and see it as an option. And that could be also another level of disconnect, which kind of mm-hmm. piggybacking on.
And if I can make it about Ben and I for half a second, that is one of the biggest frustrations I have with doing the panel jumper is I went to my hometown a couple months ago to celebrate a professor who was very supportive of me when I was a kid. And they're all like, oh, good, so cool you're doing this web series. Oh, that's awesome. Have you watched it? Oh, no, I don't like comic books. And I'm like, then stop blowing smoke, you know? And I'm like, because what's frustrating is that we are producing a show that's not just about comic books, it's about culture, right. And it's getting past that hump.
It's getting past
through that door.
The stigma.
There's a stigma about comic books, and Ben and I are going to talk about that in the next episode of the Panel Jumper. Mm. The stigma awesome. Created back in the 50s.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've had mothers come in with their sons or their kids and be looking around themselves, and the kids are there for the comics, but then the parents are like, oh, maybe I want to read a thing, because now they're in the store mm-hmm. and they can visually see something that might be possible for them that they wouldn't have if they weren't in the store, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. as part of like, oh, maybe I'll read a comic. And that I think that's part of that too. You know, again, it's just like, it's
another,
very specialized to go
another,
to a comic.
Element that was a barrier that our friend Jose brought up was just the any intellectual culture that we live in, mm. and but I found that kind of interesting. It's like, wow, comic books used to be vilified because they were lowbrow, and you're trying to tell me that and I think what he's saying was simply reading. Yep. is a hump for
yeah.
people, getting people motivated to read, yep. which is another reason why the nonprofit model is going to be a good thing for humans.
Yeah. Look, yeah. the whole book is pictures.
Yeah.
Wow.
But there's some words and there's, yeah.
Yeah.
It worked for me. I really wanted to know how to spell apocalypse as quick as I could. Yeah. It could have just been me, though.
Still confused about dark side, dark seed.
I go dark side.
I'm still confused. That Jackie.
Dark seed just sounds like something that will grow the apocalypse.
Right, but the dark side, like that's all encompassing, right? Yeah.
Anyway,
an interesting conversation. I'm sure that we'll revisit it many times because it is that age old question.
Yep.
How come comics are so popular, but comic books are going or comic stores are going under?
Right.
Anyway, let's move on to Book Report, everybody, and let's start with you, Chris Casso. What do you got for us?
So I read Lady Castle number 1 from Boom Studios. It is by Delilah S. Dawson and Ashley A. Woods. And it follows, so there's this castle, the king of the castle is Man Castle, I think. So
yes.
It's called Castle Man Castle.
Yeah.
And the king's out along with like all the men in town. And they're on a quest, and there's his daughter, the princess, is held in the tower, and she just doesn't really want to be there. She doesn't want to be married. It's the whole usual, he's got to stay there, and you got to marry somebody that I choose.
And
blah,
I think
blah, blah.
The knights were out, like, trying to find a prince or something like
yeah.
that. So, like, all of them are out on this
They're
mission.
They're all out.
Yeah.
And so the thing is, like, the town's basically being run by all the ladies, and they all have, like, restrictions. You know, you can only cook this if you're the cook, and you can only do this if you're the barber, and blah, 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 blah. And they all send letters to the princess, so she's kind of like a Dear Abby kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, like, some of them send letters like, oh, and by the way, the well hag says hi.
Yeah.
And the well hags that continually mentioned, it's kind of great. And so one day, one of the knights comes back, and Sir Reddick, and he's this big, pompous ass, and he's just like, oh, all the husbands are dead. And he's like, so I guess I gotta be king now. And then magically a sword comes out of like a fountain, and it declares like the wife of the blacksmith, who is now the blacksmith, she's the king now. And she's
yes.
like, well, I
she
guess that's
worthy.
It. Yeah, she's worthy. And so she starts kind of like setting everybody, like, first thing, let's get the princess out of the tower. She doesn't want to be in there. And
let's get the women training. We're going to need to like,
because
yeah.
there's monsters. There's the curse that killed the husbands is that there's going to be monsters coming continually.
Mm-hmm.
And like all the ladies are just like totally like into it. They're like, we're going to do this. And there's
and
a real
they're
community.
Excited because they get to do whatever they want now. So they don't have to just cook the one thing. They can like
yep.
cook all the things.
Yep.
Yeah.
And So it's just a lot of fun. What I like is that the princess, she's a little crazy because she's been stuck up there. And they're like, nah, she's okay. She's like, I don't think I'm okay. And like there's like fire salamanders show up and like they figure it out without killing. And like the one guy is just like, we're not going to kill. They're like, no killing. And the whale hag is like totally like friends with the princess and they give high fives. And she's just like this young lady that lives in a well. It's kind of great.
Yeah.
So it's really cute. It's really adorable. Yeah, a lot of fun. It's only a 4-issue miniseries, so I'm sure there'll be a trade like 3 years from now because it's boom.
Yeah. But, and the young sister wants to be a knight. Like, I don't know if she wants to be a boy. Maybe she does. But like, she definitely wants to be like one of the guys.
Yeah.
And that's pretty prevalent throughout, too. So, yeah.
Cool. All right. Lady Castle. Thanks, Chris. Mm-hmm. Nicole, what do you got for us?
Well, just lastly, I brought back the hardcore lady types, but I'm just doing like favorites of the month. So I'm writing an article a month. And that was one of my picks for January. Lady Castle.
Oh, great.
Lady Killer. I'm thinking Lady Killer because I'm like, we're so close to a trade, volume two. I want to read it. Anyway, so I read this week Zombie Camp, which came out a couple weeks ago. It's drawn by Dev Madden, who we had here at the store a while ago. He's absolutely wonderful, and his art is beautiful. And it's written by Frank Hanna. And it is an all-age humor, supernatural story. It's Zombie Camp. And it's by Scapegoat Publishing. The camp is called Camp Wanna Chompia.
Nice.
Which is pretty cute. And it just follows these kids. There's a Sarge on a stick. Like, he's an army guy, and he's always yelling at everybody. And that's what it starts off with, is him yelling at everybody. And they're like, why is this guy so mad? It's like, oh, maybe he's got phantom limb syndrome because he misses his body, and he's just in pain all the time.
Aww.
So I heard this, you know, the story, this campfire story of like his body was buried because of a curse and we need to go on this adventure, right? And so they're all like, yeah, sure, let's all go do that. And there's a pilgrim guy who's got like a plug in him and like he gets allergies and they have to unplug him and like his little intestines come out. And like I don't know, it's very strange. He gets like these gut feelings. He's called Guts. And then there's another girl who doesn't have a heart. So she's just like, just totally like dead, you know, about everything. I mean, she's a zombie.
She dead inside?
They're all dead, but she's especially dead inside. And then there's like, you know, kind of like the 80s girl with like the bandana and stuff, and she's just kind of fearless. And anyway, so they go on this mission to try to find his body, and they fall into this cavern. One of the guys, the main guy's eye pops out, and he's like, oh no, my parents are going to kill me. They told me not to lose my eye. And they're like following it. And as they follow it, Guts has an allergy attack, and they use his guts as a rope so that they can climb down into this cavern because they've unplugged him and his little guts come out. And they find the guy's body, and the guy's body goes crazy. It's got a gun, and it just like stands up and starts shooting everything. And they're like, oh my God, we got to get out of the way. We got to get out of the way. Like, he's got to run out of bullets eventually. And he does. And then they realize like, okay, well, obviously this guy like left his body down here because something's not right. So maybe we should just like leave. But before that, his heart jumps out of his chest, and the girl who doesn't feel anything puts the heart inside of her chest, and she's like, I feel something. It's amazing. It's glorious. And she's like crying tears of joy. And they're like, yeah, you can't keep the heart. You got to put it back in the guy. And he's like, oh, man, why? And so like, I don't really know where the story's going to go after this, because they're just like, oh, I guess we should just leave the body here. All right, let's go back. And it's like, okay, I don't know. It's super fun. It was really strange to think of this as an all-age comic, because I'm like, how are they going to treat the zombies? Because they're all, you
cannibals.
Know, with the guts and the, yeah, and the brains, yeah, and all the stuff.
I was going to ask, what are the rules of this world?
I'm not really sure. Yeah. Okay. So it doesn't really give you a huge scope. I think it just gives you like a first adventure to just jump right in, which I think is good. If it's an all-age tale, you want to just get to something right away. You don't want to be like, and this guy does this, and hit, you know, it's like boring.
Yeah.
But the Dev Madden's art's just really beautiful. It really makes the comic. I feel like if it didn't have this sort of style, it might not be as interesting. And I really, you get a world of the different characters too, so it's like, oh, I want to know what Guts' story is, or I want to know what her story, you know, so it makes me want to read more. And yeah, I would definitely recommend this. If you're over the zombie thing, maybe not. I know a lot of people are, and even I am to some extent, but it's fun. And it's another fun like camp story, which I obviously like. I like Lumberjanes. So I'd very much recommend it if you're just looking for something fun. Or if you have a spooky kid in your life that's like, why can't I have zombie comics? And just
and now
give
you
them,
can.
Just give them this one, because we've been waiting for this kind of thing for a while now.
And it's a local publisher.
It's right, a local so publisher. Support. Space Goat Publishing is. Dev Madden is a local guy. I don't know anything about Frank Hanna, so I got nothing for that. But yeah, definitely check it out. And if you can't find a copy in your store because they're small press, you can email me, Nicole@comicsdungeon.com, and I will ship one to you.
Awesome. Cool. Zombie Camp, nice. Number one. Yes. Thanks, Nicole. And finally, Cole Hornaday, what do you got for us?
Well, I have a huge... I've got the Chris Casso, Nicole Lamb dilemma where I brought a stack of stuff. And while you guys are talking, I'm like, okay, well, I could do this and this and this. I brought too many things to talk about, and we have too little show, and I have too many things. So I'm going to talk about... Dan Didio's latest experiment with the good taste of his publishing choices. I'm sorry, I'm getting spit is building up in my mouth here because Dan Didio. It's called Commandy Challenge, and this is the first issue. It's purportedly part of a celebration of Jack Kirby's 100th birthday. The preface or the premise to the Kirby Challenge is they're taking the beloved Jack Kirby Commandy. I always say Commandy. Do you say Commandy?
I say Commandy.
Do you say Commandy? Yeah. Because Commandy. His name is taken from Command D. Yeah. But I remember when I was growing up, people would elongate the A. Anyway, so, but the point of this is that Didio has assigned artists, and every issue ends on not only a story cliffhanger, but a creative cliffhanger. So, like, that creative team punts to the next creative team, leaving them either in a creative lurch or, you know, a moment of brilliant self-discovery. Mm-hmm. This one, the first issue has, the first story is written by, surprise, Dan Didio, and drawn by Keith Giffen.
Toot.
Yep. And then that they leave Commandy or Commandy. Boy, look, I'm doing it. They leave Commandy on a hip hanger. It's been a long night, folks. They leave Commandy on a cliffhanger, and Dan Abnett and Dale Eaglesham pick up the story. The stories, the elements, the characters are all very true to the what Kirby established back in the 70s. I will probably read it to the end, but I can tell you already right now that the formula is not going to work for me. Primarily because I don't think art should ever be turned into a spectator sport. And that's what this man thinks he needs to do to sell his comic books at DC. There's just this smug attitude Didio has about so many things,
no,
and I don't
he's
like.
He's so humble.
Oh, God. I hold him responsible for the glorious murderverse of DC, the DC cinematic or the DC films. So I'll keep reading this. It pays tribute to Mr. Kirby, but as I said, I'm a little dubious that this is going to work for 12 issues. We shall see.
Cool.
Do you think if they had started with any other creative team for the first chapter, it would have been a different? Momentum for you?
No, because I find the whole premise distasteful.
Okay.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't see. I do believe in creative constraints in telling a story, but I believe in constraints that are established maybe through budget, resources, that sort of thing. That's not what's happening here. Gotcha. This is just pitting artists against each other.
So. All right, Commandy Challenge number one. Thanks, Cole. And that is Book Report, and that is our show. And before we go, I want to tell you that the Perfect Bound Podcast is brought to you by The Panel Jumper. See everything Cole Hornaday and I do at thepaneljumper.com, where you will find information on The Panel Jumper Live coming up in a few weeks, and Comics Dungeon here at 319 Northeast 45th Street, beautiful downtown Wallingford, or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at comicsdungeon.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes or however you get your podcast at perfectboundpodcast.com. Send us an email, perfectboundpodcast@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook. Like Comics Dungeon on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and now, finally, friends, I mentioned that.
Yes. Did you tell them to get their tickets?
go to thepaneljumper.com, get your tickets for the Panel Jumper
Sorry,
Live.
Sorry, buddy. I was looking at my notes. I apologize.
All right, so thank you for paying attention. I'm so glad you're present. All right, now get your quiz hats on. It's quiz time, and the questions this week are a little different. I went a different way with this. If you have ever seen the TV show $20,000 Pyramid, it also became $100,000 Pyramid. At the end of the show, the final challenge, the guests had to get what the category was.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm going to do is I did a Google autofill. So this is the $20,000 Google autofill pyramid. I'm going to give you a list of comic book characters, mm-hmm. and you have to guess how Google autofilled the phrase comic book characters who.
Mm.
Okay. For instance, if I said Reed Richards,
mm-hmm.
Thing,
mm-hmm.
Invisible Woman,
mm-hmm.
Human Torch, you will say comic book characters who are in the Fantastic Four.
Oh, I get it now.
All right. So, number, you and I are going to have words.
Oh, which ones?
Number one, Jor-El, Uncle Ben, Gwen Stacy. Just shout it out if you think you know
death.
It.
People who
dead
die. Characters who are comic book dead. Dead. Deadly comic book
number
characters.
Number two, Stephen Strange, Otto Octavius,
Doctors.
Victor Von Doom, yes.
Characters who are doctors, characters. Doctor characters.
Who became Doctor something.
Who became Doctor All right. something. That's
number
good.
Three, Peter Parker, J. Jonah Jameson, Bruce Banner, Reed Richards, Sue Storm. Pay attention to the names themselves.
Oh, names that are alliterative?
Oh.
Comic book characters whose first and last names start with the same letter. Number four, Alan Scott, Hal Jordan, Guy Gardner.
Green.
Lantern.
Characters who have been the Green Lantern. And finally,
okay. Right.
Howard the Duck,
uh-huh.
Loki,
mm-hmm.
Cable, She-Hulk, Deadpool.
Comedy characters.
Not quite. Think of what Deadpool is kind of known for these days.
Oh, meta who break the fourth wall.
Yes, gotcha. Comic book characters who break the fourth wall. All right, so that is a quiz time.
Nice, yeah. That was fun.
Maybe maybe we'll revisit that, maybe not. And thank
maybe
you for
it's
listening.
All ruined.
And we will see you next week.
Goodbye.